welcome to Master's Generation. This is Joel. Today is Monday, May 25th, 2026. Protect by the YouTube. This is either on Rumble or YouTube, and you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationalliberty.org. We'll click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. We also have Bible studies every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here in our Start Meeting Room. This week's study is on What Must I Do to Be Saved? Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also consider taking a 90-hour court course of court access and the common law course. You can find the link on the front page in the description below. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to have tonight's scripture reading is going to be James chapter 1, read by Alexander Scorby. So, James chapter 1, Epistle of James.
The General Epistle of James, chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions or announcements tonight?
Yes, John, I'd think we should make the announcement again about the Red Pill Expo. It's the 14th one, and it's sponsored by the Red Pill University. It'll be held in Las Vegas, Nevada, on July 11th and 12th, 2026. And you can sign up and live stream the entire two-day multi-speaker session free. And when you do that, you'll have access after the expo to any and all of the presentations again. The website is https://redpilluniversity.org/expo-homepage. And they will have soon the list of speakers up. And in checking through last week, I found that they also have all of the speakers from the last three expos posted, so you can go back, what's that, a year and a half further, and listen to any of those presentations that were made. And it usually has some really interesting speakers, and I'm sure this year will be the same. So if you can, if you'd like, you can go ahead and visit it if you're anywhere near there. They have three different accommodations. One is just to go to the speakers. Then there is a big bash get-together with all of the speakers for a dinner and so on. And each step up, of course, costs you more money. But if you're tight on money, just sign up and listen and enjoy. We have a number of questions tonight, John.
And you did put that website up on the weekly...
Yeah, it's in the newsletter each week until it expires on the 12th okay. of July. It's there, so if you don't remember the link to the website, just look. It's in the announcements. Okay, the first question. Why is the access to the new presentment blocked so you can't add the new suit you're getting ready to file? Or, I'm sure he means add his suit to this document.
We've already put together a page on that that does have the listings of all of the different, we got over 250 cases that we have filed. I think it was 99 habeas corpuses, and then we've got a bunch let me just see if I can find the list real quick. Well, a bunch of affidavits. You can find it. I found this page here can be found, of course, on our front page, just a couple inches down. You click on Grand Jury Presentment to the U.S. Supreme Court, and you come to this page here. And if you come to the table of contents, you'll see the exhibits. Exhibit B is the grand jury filings and indictments. So that information is, it's a total of 104 pages, but with everything, and the attachments, we only have a couple attachments, it's 108 pages altogether. And we're looking to send that out tomorrow. I was kind of planning on sending it out on Friday, but, I didn't get the cover letter done, and we needed to go through back and forth, having other people look at it and kind of just working it to something that is more presentable than what we first came up with. But in any event, we may be looking at that tonight. All right. Anyway, I don't know what they mean that they couldn't. You think they were trying to put it onto the page up online?
I think they were trying to add their document, whatever it was.
Yeah, well, we do have it up on online also. Let's see. We have all of this stuff up on the pages, and it would be found under federal court case. And I think you'll find it underneath, Action Against the Judiciary. That's where we've been filing it up online. And we did put some recent affidavits up there. And if anything else comes in, we'll put them up there also. And there is a reference from our paperwork leading to that page also. I mean, we can't put all of the cases directly and print them out. We'd have, you know, 1,000 pages, maybe a lot more than 1,000 pages potentially, to put them all through the whole system. But we do have the list of all of the different cases, and each of those cases, again, can be found up there. And remember, people who are, and we've been working on this for quite some time, so a lot of people, some of this stuff goes back a couple of years since we've been working on this, and we're finally to that point, I think, where we have the best possibility to potentially get, our courts of justice back. I think the time is ripe. So I think we're very close to that. You know, you can't save America if you don't save its courts. And people need to understand what our court system is, that we're a court of law, which is a court of natural law is what that is. And that, of course, is what our paper is all about. We need to bring our courts back. But anybody that has a case going, remember, you're going to have to, we get this, and I do believe we have a good chance of doing this, but in any event, if we get our courts of justice open, anybody can resurrect any of their cases because they never had due process. And so you can reopen your case no matter what. I mean, you can refile it and reopen it. We'll talk about that in another time, maybe on a way that we can do that. Now's not the time to get into those details. But you're going to have to represent your own case, so you need to understand how due process works. You need to understand how the court system is set up and how you have to go through your court case and make your proof and your points. So, again, we share all that information under court access in the common law. So anybody who's got a court case, and if they're not familiar with the process in the courts and how due process works and due discovery and all those things, well, then you can take our course here, again, which is Court Access in the Common Law. And that's right here, if you click on this button, click here to sign up for our comprehensive 90-hour law course on civil procedure from the common law perspective. It's $125. A college course on civil procedure is 5 credits, 50 to 60 hours of class hours, costing about $2,600 per credit, covering litigation, rules, lawsuits, filings, pleadings, discovery, motions, trials, and appeals. Your heritage is in the law, and your inheritance is liberty. So we cover all of those things and teach people how to come into the courts, but we also take that extra step, of course, doing it from the perspective of natural law, common law. And we do cover the rules as far as dealing with the courts, that they're using rules, the rules that they're using, which really is one of the main purposes of our papers, is to get rid of those rules and open up our courts of justice. So we did read that paper a couple of weeks ago, and again, people can come up at any time and read that paper. And this is that paper, of course, as I mentioned. You can download it, read it. I'm planning on sending this out tomorrow. So it'll be going out tomorrow to the Supreme Court and to all of the people that we're copying, particularly, of course, is President Trump and his administration. Okay, what else we got, Jan?
Okay. Should affidavits contain the title Affidavit of Fact or Affidavit of Truth at the top? Also, can affidavits that are mailed certified include enclosures such as postal evidence, photocopies of return receipts, and other supporting evidence to substantiate what is declared in the enclosed affidavit? Or does that negate the affidavit's legal power as a standalone document?
Well, again, I think I mentioned this many times, that the affidavit has to be very simple. It's basically, when you go into federal court, you move things into federal court, you're moving in for cause. And so you have to really, the affidavit has to focus in on a cause. What was the cause? And in our case, in everyone's case, it's a denial of due process because no one has really had a hearing in a court of law. They've had it in civil law courts. That's what they've been running. They're running under Chancery. And so an affidavit, and we do give instructions. Let me just quickly go back down here. And if you want to continue to send in affidavits, you can do so. We will post them up on our webpage under the federal court cases, particularly against the, I think it's against the judiciary. Let me see which one it is. I think it's action against the judiciary. Let me click on that. I believe that's where all of the cases are. Yeah, this is where all the cases are listed. And each one of these cases are actually, you can click on them and read them. So many people have filed with us over the years. We've been doing this for quite some time. And now we're just looking for just affidavits. Anybody wants to get their affidavit in with us. We're not running all of this information in all the pages, because like I said, if we were to run all of the papers that have been filed, it would be thousands of pages, and we just can't afford to do that. We're pretty close to, you know, pretty much having enough money to do what we have to do here, but things are kind of tight. But there is a reference and a direction from the web, from the paperwork, for the details. But again, your case is not going to be heard through us. Your case is going to be heard in the court where you originally filed. Once we open up courts of law again, and we'll discuss that process, that procedure, and all those things once we're able to get our courts opened again. Saving the republic is saving the courts, because without a court of law, we don't have a republic. We're under common law, we're not under civil law. And that's what they've done. They've changed us over to civil law through the Rules Enabling Act. And therein was the problem. So anyway, I do think, Trump is on point with us on this. I really do believe that. But we're going to find out more. I think the way we couched our paper, we have a cover letter which people can read, and we'll look at that in a minute after we go through questions. So we have a cover letter, and I think the cover letter lays a lot of things out. And I think hopefully will maybe even help us to get some money. I was originally thinking of writing a few people asking for money to really support the work that we're doing here, because we have a lot of work to do, but we don't have the money to do it. So hopefully, maybe through this, maybe we'll get some people with deep pockets that will, give us some money and be able to do the work that we have to do. We need to get a proper education in our schools. We need to get proper textbooks, because I'm not aware of any proper textbook. Let me correct that. There are a couple that you can find, but we go much deeper than what you can find. But you can find some up there on, what is that site? What's that website? Let me see if I can find that we buy books from. We get, the constitutions, the use, what is it? I'm looking to see if I can't find it.
CSS something.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that, make sure we get it. Let's see. That's not it. All right, when I think about it, I'll make the note of it. They do have a couple of books up there that are for schools, but they don't have enough of an education. They're not very deep into the natural law side. They are in, for instance, The Making of America. They cover that pretty good, and they got a lot of great books that could be turned into school textbooks, which if we get to that point where we're going to start working on school textbooks, then we'll approach these people to see once whether they're interested in turning their books into textbooks, because they can easily be done. That can easily be done. You give us the permission for them.
It's NCCS.net, National Center for Constitutional Studies.
Thank you. Okay. Next question. Where are we?
Okay. Has John ever looked into that publication titled The Court is the Bank that was sent a few months ago? I feel that it is very pertinent to success, as this is something that the courts do not want the public to know. Every case has a bond and underlying accounting, and every time I have heard of the few people that know about and resort to this in court under special appearance, usually have their case either dismissed or have caught and proven the courts in the act of embezzlement. Please share if not already done.
Yeah, well, that sounds, I'm not too familiar with exactly what that person's talking about, but it does sound like they're talking about something that really came to be from that surfaced after they turned the United States into a corporation, which is the Organic Act of 1871. And you know, the United States, with our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, everything is still there. The structure is still there. They just put like a blanket or overlaid it with a corporate veil. And then they started playing the games with the banks, and that's probably what this person is talking about, I presume. Maybe they're talking about the SESCU funds that they have set up, and, you know, when you go to court, there's some kind of an attachment. But that's playing the game of corporatism, and we're not interested in that. We're focused in on getting our courts of justice back and getting rid of all of that other stuff that is, repugnant to who we are as a people. I don't know, do you have any idea what they're talking about other than that, Jan, or Eric?
Well, I think it's kind of like the cities and so on, you know. They kind of have double books, and they write off and have in a file, I forget what they call the file, it's not a SESCU fund, where they have a horrendous amount of money that they've gathered up over the years. And I assume here that the court has done the same thing. Whenever they have a court case go through, they get a split of whatever fees and stuff are assessed. And over time, that builds up to be a lot of money.
Yeah, all that sounds unlawful and, fraud. And you can think of a lot of names, I'm sure, for that, even RICO. That's nothing that we would be involved with. We want our courts of justice back. That's what we want. And we want to end all this insanity with the SESCU accounts or, you know, the monies that they collect, I presume, from the court cases. I don't know. First of all, we've already paid for everything there. Why should we have to pay for anything to go into our courts? We've already paid for the buildings they're operating. We pay their salaries. We pay for, you know, their computers and desks and, you know, electricity, everything. We pay for all of that. You know, the only thing, to pay to get into a court is for a corporation only. That makes sense. A corporation should pay whatever it is, $300, $400 to open up a court case. But the people shouldn't. That's our courts. But anyway, next question.
There is a lot of talk about the data collection centers, and we as a committee of safety are dealing with them as a side issue. What is NLA's take on them, and where do you see them, the data centers, going?
Okay, now, data collection centers, they're talking about, for instance, that there's a place out west somewhere that has this large building that everything that goes out there on phones, internet, anything, sending emails, it sort of strings itself through that, so they record everything that's going on. Is that what you think they're talking about?
I assume, yeah.
You know, they'd be talking also, well, I don't know if they're talking about anything where people collect data for, you know, your credit score or something like that, which I understand also is unlawful. I was looking a little bit into it, but I haven't really had the time to dig deep enough down into it. I know Gerard had some information on that, and I asked him to see if he can look to see if he could find it, because I'd like to take a look into that, maybe do some papers on that. But those are the only two things that I can think of that this person might be talking about. When people ask these kind of questions, you got to give us a little more detail so we can understand, what exactly sometimes people are talking about. All right, next, Jan.
That's the last question, John. There are no more.
Okay. All right, by the way, the queue is open. Anybody wants to get into the queue, it's if you're on a phone, it's a *6 and a 1. If you're on an app or browser, there should be a button to get into the queue. All right, I do want to take a quick look at the cover letter before we start taking some questions. And you can find that cover letter right here on our front page here. Let me see. Let me close this off. Okay. I don't have a front page. Here it is. You can read our cover letter. This is the cover letter to the presentment to the United States Supreme Court. And so I'm going to read through this. People can download this and read it. We did read the nuts and bolts of the presentment itself. We didn't read through the whole thing because it's 104 pages plus a few pages of exhibits. But we'll read through this. I think it's 3 pages, maybe 4. So it starts off, Dear President Trump, ETAL, et al, for those who don't know what that is, and it means that there are other people. And these are the other people that we're listing and writing this letter to. So it's not just to President Trump. Originally, this letter I was writing focusing in on Donald Trump Jr., and I was thinking of maybe asking for his support, financially speaking. But then I realized, well, maybe I shouldn't ask for money from or anything of that nature directly. But we did do this, and I changed this paper over to go to all of the individuals. And it pretty much talks about what we're doing here. Of course, the main thing that we're doing, at least today, and talking about, is trying to get our courts of justice open. That is the key point or the key focus. But we have a lot more, of course. You know, we cover what it is, what it means to have government by consent, you know, committees of safety, and the many different things that people could do to take back their government from the grassroots upward, you know, taking a school district back and so on and so forth. But let's read this. Okay, I just started off with a quote here by Mark Twain, and it ain't what you don't know that gets you into trouble. It's what you think, it's what you know for sure that just ain't so. And I put that in the beginning because a lot of these people are lawyers, and they think we're under Roman law. They think our nation is structured as Rome. And a lot of these people have no clue that we're a Christian nation and we're structured as Israel. Again, it's very hard to talk to people who are lawyers who spent a lot of money, who were taught these things, and of course they have to be right. They spent a lot of money to get this knowledge. But we should be able to really break through to the people who are not lawyers. And amongst them are people who are not lawyers. I mean, you know, President Trump himself is not a lawyer. But if they're honest with themselves and really considers what we're writing here, because this letter, of course, we don't have many footnotes on it, but we did send all these people a copy of the book, Government by Consent, which is full of footnotes. We don't make any statements or make any points or truths or talk about things without giving the information where we got this information from. A lot of our information might come, you know, from communications with between our founding fathers. It could come from the Constitution or other founding documents. It could come from the Federalist Papers. It could come from the U.S. Supreme Court rulings, and so on. So, you know, we show these people exactly where this information comes from. It really can't be denied if they consider that that there may be an error. But it's very grievous for people to take correction, unfortunately. Okay, dear President Trump and administration, my name is John Durash, co-founder and member-supported National Liberty Alliance, which is the sponsor of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. We owe no allegiance but to God alone. The mission and purpose of National Liberty Alliance is to provide an online national venue where the people can organize, communicate, and learn the science of government by consent. President Trump said, "In America, the people govern, the people rule, and the people are sovereign. I was elected not to take power, but to give power to the American people where it belongs." The problem, Mr. President, is that the people don't understand what being sovereign is. They don't know how to govern or rule. In short, they don't know how to have government by consent. Whereas Thomas Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Without a proper education for the people, your work is in vain. Our courts have been hijacked by lawless men who have changed the law of the land to civil law, which denies due process and enslaves the people. Bar lawyers are taught that grand juries are empowered by the federal or state law, and that a true bill requires a prosecutor's signature to verify a valid cause, whereas grand juries are an unalienable right empowered by God, not legislators. We, the people, only gave legislators power to legislate positive law under the rules of natural law in equity, and not rewrite the laws of nature's God applied by the people alone via juries. Quoting Anton Scalia in U.S. versus Williams, we read, "Recognizing the tradition of independence, we have said that the Fifth Amendment constitutional guarantee presupposes an investigative body acting independently of either prosecuting attorneys or judge. The Constitution of most of our states assert that all power is inherent in the people, that they may exercise it by themselves in all cases to which they think themselves competent, as in electing their functionaries, elective and legislative, and deciding by a jury of themselves both facts and law in all judiciary cases in which they which any fact is involved." The American, let me see if I can make this a little bigger. Okay, that's a little better. "The American grand jury is neither part of the judicial, executive, nor legislative branches of government, but instead belongs to the people. It is in effect a fourth branch of government, governed and administered to directly by and on behalf of the American people. And its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights. Thus, people have the unbridled right to impanel their own grand juries and present true bills of indictment to a court, which is then required to commence a criminal proceeding. Our founding fathers thereby created a buffer the people may rely upon for justice when public officials, including judges, criminally violate the law. The people thereby having the unbridled right to impanel and preside over their own proceedings unfettered by technical rules and to investigate merely on suspicion. It is the grand jury's function to consider criminal charges, not prosecutors, which have no authority to charge, change, or negotiate away the grand jury's indictments. Indictments are final, and any additional charges cannot be added without the consent of the grand jury. But the bar and thereby its minions ignore the law of the land and do what they please. Bar lawyers are also taught that common law is deeply rooted in the principles of stare decisis, where courts follow precedents established by previous decisions, where the presiding judge determines which precedents to apply in deciding each new case. This repugnant principle is both self-serving and a lie, whereas common law, also known as natural law, is God's law written in the hearts of men and not self-serving legislators and bar judges. God's law is simply common sense, applying judgment from the heart with an eye on justice and the consideration of mercy. Statutes, precedents, and bar-taught judges are incapable of applying common law, and that's why properly oriented juries, as confirmed by Justice Anton Scalia, are the sole deciders of the facts, law, and penalties, all of which have been stolen from the people by the bar and all of its minions. The Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury has filed 252 filings on behalf of 252 people and 99 indictments, all of which have been ignored. This is the epitome of proof of a conspiracy. We have also served two presentments to the United States Supreme Court, but their clerks, probably under the direction of a judge, removed and returned them in violation of 18 U.S.C. subsection 2071 and 18 U.S.C. subsection 2076. Whereas this presentment to SCOTUS has been directed to the Chief Clerk Scott S. Harris, and the grand jury has decided on indictments for anyone who violates said codes. In 250 years, let me repeat that, redo that. If 250 years has taught us anything, it is that government is in control of education, they will teach the people. No, let me reread that. Sorry. If 250 years has taught us anything, It is that if government is in control of our education, they will never teach the people that they are sovereign and how to have government by consent. President Trump took the first step by shutting down the Department of Education, thereby ending centralized outcome-based education. The necessary second step is that it is up to the people to take control of their local school boards and require a proper education. Again, the problem is that the people don't know how to take control of their school boards, nor do they know what a proper education is, and they are not organized at the grassroots to accomplish such a goal. Therein is National Liberty Alliance's mission. In 1963, the Bible and prayer were outlawed in classrooms, which marked the beginning of moral decay in America, replacing the moral teachings and doctrines of Jesus Christ, the King of our court, with atheistic doctrines of godless men that demoralize our children. And today, we clearly see Lucifer, via the Quran and Sharia law, entering our schools and our courts. Whereas we the people ordained via the Declaration of Independence to be under the laws of nature and of nature's God, the Declaration being a covenant with God in that we would receive his blessings, whereby we codified it in the preamble that all government is to secure the blessings of liberty, whereas God said in Psalms 33:12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." This is why America, being a Christian nation, has been so prosperous, and even with all the conspiracies to destroy God's people and their republic since 1776 through today, he has blessed us and protected America. Our founding fathers understood this, and as with Job, in the book of Job, the Lord has made a hedge around the house of his sons, and as with the nation of Israel, so it is with his people these 250 years. When God said in Exodus 19:4 through 6, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice and indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a particular treasure unto me above all people, for all earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." In Hosea 13, verse 4, we read, "I am the Lord thy God, from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me." Isaiah 43, 3, "I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." And John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." So Jesus Christ is the governor of the universe and king of our courts. Our founding fathers understood these things as they founded our natural law republic. The land of America was looked upon by the majority of our founding fathers as representing a new Jerusalem and or a city upon a hill and or new Israel, drawing from 2 Samuel 7:10, where God said, "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." We are a Christian nation, and if we forget that, God will most assuredly forget us. The members of National Liberty Alliance had gifted every one of you with the book, Government by Consent. We trust that you have read it. We counsel you to reread Chapter 12, titled NLA's Plan to Save America. Mr. President, you and your administration can resurrect our republic, but can an uneducated people keep it? Patrick Henry's, whose word rings so true today, said, "The question before the people is one of an awful moment to this country. For my own part, I consider it nothing less than a question of freedom or slavery. Should I keep back my opinions as such a time through fear? It is natural to man to indulge in the illusions of hope. We are apt to shut our eyes against the painful truth and listen to the song of that siren till she transforms us into beasts. Is this the part of a wise man engaged in a great and arduous struggle for liberty? I have but one lamp by which my feet are guided, and that is the lamp of experience. I know of no way of judging of the future but by the past. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. I know there is a God. I see the storm coming, and I see his hand in it. If there is a place, then I am ready. JFK, requoted by President Trump, 7/29/22. The storm has arrived. President Trump, 7/29/22, Truth Social. Mr. President, while it is true that you and your administration are doing an amazing job dismantling the evil works of the deep state and its new world order behind it, this is not a time for the people to return to complacency, because only the people can save our republic. But without the support of the people behind President Trump, he cannot be successful. Furthermore, he cannot have liberty and justice for all without having a government by consent, and that requires a proper education, a properly educated people. And with that said, the reverse is true. We the people need you, Mr. President, and your administration support concerning the enclosed grand jury presentment. We must remove these tyrants and resurrect the law of the land. Open our courts of justice and provide a Jeffersonian Republican education to all and at all costs. In closing, thank you for your time and consideration. We will never surrender. To God be glory. And may he continue to protect and guide us through these troubling times. Sincerely, John Durash, National Liberty Alliance. And I ended up with a quote. I did put the name on the original paper. I didn't get it up online. Let me think who that was. Does anybody remember who made this quote? All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. I know I have it on the paper. I did put it in on a paper that we're going to be printing out tomorrow. I just didn't get it on the one that I uploaded. But all right, in any event, that's the letter. And like I said, it's a cover letter for the paper, the presentment going to the Supreme Court. Of course, the Supreme Court will get a cover letter too. As a matter of fact, it's marked. Let's go real quick and take a look at it. And I may write a small paragraph as a cover to all of this. But let me see. Presentment to the U.S. Supreme Court. Okay, there's a cover letter, a national emergency extraordinary presentment. And in the file on demand under penalty of law, which lays out the law and what the penalty is of anybody who prevents this from getting to the justices or who removes it, mutilates it, returns it, or whatever, prison is called for. So we wanted to make that clear to this particular clerk. And we want to make sure that we get that person's signature on the papers that we sent out. So we addressed it directly to, Chief Court Clerk Scott S. Harris. Okay, so that pretty much does it on the paper we're sending out and the cover letter. And again, anybody that can assist us with some donations continuing this work, we'd appreciate it. We really could use the money. Okay, with that, I think we'll take some questions now. Let me see. Only got one person in the queue, so if anybody else wants to get into the queue, if you're on a phone, *6 and a 1. If you're on an Apple browser, should be a button to get into the queue. So, take a first person. Let's see. Area code 208. You got the mic. Give us your first name and your state.
Hello, John. It's Mark Allen Tisland in Washington.
Hey.
I just thought I would get on the call tonight and see if you received your edited version.
Yeah, I did receive it. I was able to make a lot of changes, but I didn't get all of it. So, we did get the main part of the papers. I did go through all that, but then I had printed them out, and so your paper kind of came in last, late. But I did get the first part of your paper, and we did use the corrections. We appreciate that. The second part would be further down on our paperwork. I did print all that out, so it's too late to make any more changes. But we do appreciate that, and hopefully, you'll assist us at another time when we do more papers.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to do that. I was curious, as far as questions go, have you considered, it seems like you've done so much work with this stuff, and they seem to be non-responded to them for the most part, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's any possibility, and I think I asked you this question in an email I sent you, that there's something called the grand jurisdiction, which is where the grand jury actually gets its name from. And supposedly the grand jurisdiction can only be obtained through a borough.
Well, when you talk about a borough, that's really another name or word for county, unless you have some meaning for that.
I think it's more specific than that, because
New York City, there are five boroughs. I was born in New York City, and each one of those boroughs are actually counted as a county. The county of New York, for instance, is Manhattan. We have Queens and Bronx, Brooklyn, and so on.
This is just a thought that perhaps that's how to get the traction. Maybe they're using a technicality.
Well, basically, look, these people are evil. They don't want to address anything that we bring up. They don't want anything evidenced into the courts that could get them into trouble because they commit crimes all day long. They've shut down our courts of justice, and they're guilty of treason for this. They can plead that they're ignorant to that, and maybe we the people will have some mercy on that and not give them the death penalty, but it is worthy of the death penalty, from my opinion. It's not my decision to make, of course. That would be the trial jury's decision. But these people definitely deserve a good period of time in jail at minimum. And I'm talking about judges now. They know the difference. They know that they shut the courts of justice down. They know that they changed the laws and that they've made laws from the bench and that they may use rules as laws and their rules override even the laws of legislators. In the court, it's really pretty bad in the court systems, and this is not just in the federal courts. This goes all the way down into the state courts, the county courts, the town courts, the village courts. Every court has turned into a court of chancery, a court of civil law, and the purpose of civil law is to keep the slaves in under control. That's the purpose of civil law.
Yeah, the Roman civil courts, absolutely, and the district attorneys are well aware too. All the prosecutors are in on it. So,
mm-hmm.
But thank you so much for what you do, John. I really appreciate it. I'd be happy in the future as well.
Look, we don't have anybody else. So, if you have any other questions or anything else you want to bring up, or if any of the leadership wants to bring anything up, or if anybody else wants to get into the queue, again, if you're on a phone, *6 and a 1. If you're on an Apple browser, you can hit a button there. But do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I've been keeping busy myself. I recently sent a letter off to the POTUS as well as Commander-in-Chief, and it was kind of on behalf of the assemblies and the Tim Turner thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we were looking for validation of – I finally had a talk with Tim and said, hey, look, we need receipts, man. We're tired of taking everybody's word for it. People are getting tired of all the effort with no traction being gained. So he agreed that and signed off on it. And we sent a letter to Trump and also to this Special Operations Association of America, which is the North Virginia Army. And we asked them for confirmation about the meeting with the military that Turner had. And to get some confirmation that we are on the right path, or what the proper steps would be for the people to take the republic back as far as settling their counties properly. Mm-hmm. So we're looking to see if we get a response on that, and hopefully we do. And as soon as I do, everybody in the nation will be getting copies of that to see what the reply was. So.
Yeah, well, again, they're under a lot of stress also. I'm sure the enemy is among them also. And, we've sent some letters out also to the JAG, and there's quite a few different individuals involved with that. We haven't gotten anywhere with them either. But it is a difficult thing to be done, that needs to be done. But we have President Trump. I truly believe at this point in time, President Trump understands all these things. You know, maybe there's a one thing here or a thing there that he doesn't realize or understand. But it'll eventually come to surface, and he'll have to look at it and deal with it. And I do think, just from listening over the years, they have changed their language a little bit, more focused in towards being a Republican opposed to a democracy. And I'm hearing a lot of these people starting to talk more, not using the phrase, you know, Democratic Republic, which is an oxymoron. There's no such thing as Democratic Republican Republic. So I think that they seem to be using just the word republic lately. And they've just been saying certain things that make me think that, hey, you know, they do understand. Whether they're learning from us or they knew before, one or the other, it's irrelevant to either way, as long as he knows and understands. And that these courts have to be won back and given back to the people. These servants are not to judge a master. We are judged by the people themselves. We, the people, are the lawmakers. So we are to be judged by the people. And 12, of course, is the number chosen. Particularly, that comes out from the Bible, the 12 witnesses of Christ, the 12 apostles. And that's where the idea really drawn from. And there's a lot of information on this kind of thing, of course. You go back into England. But in any event, and I don't know anybody hasn't read the book or gotten hold of the book, The Excellence of the Common Law by Brent Allen Winters. A lot of understanding and information on common law, natural law, where it's had its beginnings and so on, which really goes all the way back, of course, to about 4000 BC. It goes back to Israel. Is it 4000? Let me think about that. Yeah, I think it is that many years ago. 4000 BC, yeah. So it goes back quite far. And we're the second true natural law republic ever, you know, Israel being the first and we being the second. There are plenty of republics. There's like 250 republics today in the world. But they're not natural law republics. There's a difference. We're under natural law. Those other republics are all under legislative law, the laws of men and not of God. So therein is the difference.
Yeah, I've noticed that shift also in the language, and that's been a little bit comforting, at least, or I should say inspiring, at least, to hear them say that, because you would never hear that just a short few years ago.
Yeah.
So that is something to look forward to.
And there is a lot going on, of course, and look what he's doing in the world, you know. Trump and his administration, you know, he's really bringing peace to the world, you know. A lot of people may not realize what's going on, but, you know, he's getting rid of these nations that are controlled by drug lords. So he's getting rid of the drug lords and giving the nations back to the people. He worked on that in South America. He's not finished in South America. And he took back Panama. He's working towards Greenland. He's dealing with Iran. Again, getting rid of, this is all controlled by the deep state. This is the deep state around the world that he's taken out. A lot of people don't realize that. And so all this terrorism and stuff, that's what he's taken out. I know he made some kind of an agreement over the weekend here with them. I don't think they're going to hold up to it, and I think we're going to end up going in and bombing them again and hopefully get the other nations around them to actually go in with their troops to take control and give it back to the people. I know one of the things Trump doesn't want to do, not that he wouldn't do if it's got to be done, but he doesn't really want to send troops in, you know?
Yeah, I think he should arm. I put in a little caveat in that letter I sent him that to arm the young Christian men of that nation, because they are quite many, that number of men. They don't want a peace deal. They want a regime change.
Well, there's someone in his administration who mentioned that is what they've offered and that potentially is being done. I don't know if it was someone directly in his administration, but someone close to it anyway. You know, they can't really broadcast that too much because it's got to be done very quietly. Otherwise, these people could be taken out very quickly. And I imagine that people have to be trained, of course. I mean, you can't just put a weapon in someone's hand because, you know, these are difficult times. Maybe that's all that we can do is just put weapons into their hands. But I do think that there are groups out that way that are interested in going in and helping and training these people and arming them. And I do think that there is a movement behind the scenes working that direction also, as much as just trying to get the Strait open and also to secure, you know, the potential weapons of mass destruction that they've got as far as that's concerned, you know?
Yeah, I could see them actually having it. I believe they're actually a testing ground for North Korea's weaponry right now. They're getting, you know, a free test site through the Iranian regime there. You know, North Korea's getting to test all their stuff. And that's kind of a worrisome component to the whole thing, to know that they're allied that closely and that North Korea is willing to supply them.
Anything lately about, I know they were doing that. Are they still doing that? I haven't heard that they're doing anything lately, continue that kind of an arrangement with Iran as far as getting them weaponry and so on. I don't think that's coming into the nation anymore. And it'd be pretty difficult for them to move it in anyway. I guess they could do it over land. Maybe they still go through other countries to do that. So I don't know.
Yeah, but it would be a process for sure, but. Anyways, thank you, John, for taking the call.
Appreciate it.
Love what you do.
All right, thanks. All right, again, you know, we don't have anyone else in the queue, so if anybody wants to get into the queue, if you're on a phone, *6 and a 1. If you're on a Apple browser, should be a button there somewhere. I mean, I don't have anything else really to talk about tonight. I only plan to read that paper and hopefully get conversation going. But I should have taken the realization that not many people would show up tonight because it is a holiday weekend. So if we don't get a conversation going, maybe tonight, maybe we'll close down early for the night. So again, if anybody's got any questions, comments, anything at all, phone, *6 and a 1, Apple browser, should be a button. I don't know, Terry, Jan, you guys got anything? Because if we don't get a conversation going, well, I guess we'll just close down early tonight.
Well, I don't remember if I talked about it before, but do you remember me asking what the difference is between the 9th and the 10th Amendments?
Yeah, you talked about that before, and you had some good perspective on that. Why don't you tell us about that?
Keep losing your audio for some reason, but...
Let me try again.
I was trying to think of something.
Well, that's good. You know, look, I know you did talk to me about it before. We talked about
grandson.
We talked a little bit about this privately, and I think about a month ago you brought this up, and you got a good perspective of the 9th and the 10th amendments. And so share with us again.
Okay. So the 9th Amendment, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights, shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. So they're saying, if I count all the rights that are in the Constitution, that doesn't mean that that's the only rights we have. We have all rights. So the subject, the main point of the 9th Amendment is that we have rights, and we have all those rights that are bestowed upon us by our Heavenly Father. And we need to remember that. The next amendment is Amendment 10, and it is the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor provided by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. The thing about this is the subject is powers. So the 9th is about rights. The 10th Amendment is about powers. And I see so many people, now that I found this out about a month ago or so, I see so many people talking about governments having rights. Our governments have no rights. Our government has powers from us. We gave them a few powers. And I've found that there's lots of places saying that governments have the right to do this or the right to do that. They do not. They have powers. Government, as George Washington said, government is force. And with force doesn't come a right, it comes power. And we have to put our minds so that we understand that explicitly. To not understand that is that you are shortchanging yourself as to how much power and rights and authority that you have. And I would like to change everybody's thinking so that they understand that. Am I making sense?
Well, amen. I agree wholeheartedly. And you know, that's exactly what they have as powers. And we the people are the sovereign. You know, they are not the sovereign. I know judges talk about them having a sovereign protection. They don't have sovereign protection. They have constitutional protection. They have law protection. They're protected as long as they don't step outside of their authority. If they error or something goes bad, they can't be held liable if they didn't step outside of their authority in the process of executing whatever it is they're executing. But once they step outside of their authority and injure someone, now they've lost any kind of protection at all. But they seem to think that they have sovereign immunity, and they don't have it. They don't have the immunity.
Can I illustrate that just a little bit? You know, God gave us the right to choose. Some people call it free agency. He gave us the right to make our own choices. And the choice that he wants you to make is between following God or just doing your own thing and following somebody else or something else. I think it applies to judges and courts and everywhere else. We've given a power, but and so that they can decide, but we want to them to decide in accordance with what the people know to be true. If they start going off the deep end and, you know, exceeding their authority or stating something that isn't true or finding some different thing that is irrelevant to the case and making that the key point, they've gone off the deep end and they are out of the authority to act and the power that we gave them. And you're right, John, when they do stuff like that, we should be able to bring the sheriff to bear to say you're violating our rights, and we can't have that. And I'm sorry, I just heard something, and I don't know if I've lost you again. Sound isn't acting right today.
You did break a little bit, but we understood, or at least I understood everything you were saying. But yeah, I agree. You know, one of the big problems, of course, we get back to education. It's the same thing. Our elected officials are not educated in the law. They're not educated in the Constitution. And they very quickly lose the reason why they went into office. You know, I heard others talk about this and some of these people coming in with all these good intentions, and it doesn't take long being in Congress, for instance, before they get corrupted very quickly. And the same problem is with our law enforcement. Law enforcement meaning our sheriffs. Our sheriffs are not educated. They don't know the Constitution. They don't know their powers and authorities. They are also have been trained that they are also code enforcers. They're applying codes upon the people, you know, traffic violations and so on. That's not the law. They shouldn't be doing that, but they don't know any better. They're ignorant. And the people are ignorant, and so they don't know what anybody's even doing, whether they have the power or the authority to do it. They're told that, hey, we got the power, and they just believe. and we're led as sheep, and therein is the problem. We don't have a proper education in the school. In our schools, our children are demoralized. I don't think anyone should run for office or be able to run for office unless they take a particular course. I'd love to write that course up, which requires them to understand who we are as a people, what the law actually is, where the law comes from, what the Constitution says, what the powers and authorities are within this office or that office or another office, you know. But they don't have anything like that. We get these people even coming from foreign countries, bringing in, for instance, Sharia law. I just heard today, this may have been a little old news, a couple of days or something, may even be older than that, but I saw that it was registered, I think, a couple of days ago, where there are people that are actually being tried in Sharia courts in many places across America. This is very, very disturbing. These people should be arrested. It should be shut down. It's treason. They allow the Quran in school. You got the Quran down in New York City. You got these people echoing prayers to Satan, you know, throughout the city. It echoes so many times a day. It's like you're over in Iran or Iraq or something, you know. And it's pretty, pretty bad.
When I got home, I went to California and helped a lady at a ranch. And there's two things I can say. And one is that when I got back, I had ordered some stuff from the NCCS. And I'm very interested in finishing this. I've started it. It is an elementary catechism on the Constitution of the United States for the use of schools by Arthur J. Stansberry, and it was published in Boston at Hilliard, Gray, Little, and Wilkins in 1828. And it's like a catechism. They ask a question. I'll just read three of the first three questions, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Question, in what country do you live? Answer, in the United States of America. Question, why is this country called the United States? Because it is made up of a number of states which were once separate, but afterwards agreed to unite together. Question three, what do you mean by a state? Answer, I mean any district of country whose people are all under one government. Now, that sounds so simple, but when you begin to investigate, like what you said about Sharia law, they don't have this. This is just assumed that everybody knows this. And there are, I think, 384 questions in this. 333 questions. And it asks questions like, suppose no one person has a majority, that is more than half, of all the votes for president. Is the person who has the most votes considered it as chosen? It asks questions like that.
Where are these questions coming from? Where did you say they were coming from? Did you hear me, Terry? Did we lose you?
Where they come from? It's available.
No. I'm asking these things that you're reading.
Catechism on the Constitution of the United States, and it's available at nccs.net.
Okay. Yeah, I remember you saying something about that.
And
okay.
I'm losing you again.
No, I did get what you're saying. You know, also one of the big problems is I don't think that they really put enough testing to people who want to become citizens. It sounds to me that the testings are pretty simple. It's almost like going to get a license. They ask you 10 or 15 questions and they give you a license, you know? So I think it should be much more in-depth in American history, who we are as a people, that they really have to come here and participate in who we are as a people and not try to change us. You know, they could bring their culture because America has many cultures in it, but we all have come under... you know, the Constitution. We've all come to the point of one nation under God, indivisible. You know?
So. Yes, and I have a whole other aspect, but I think you have another
person
to that. In the queue.
Yeah, hold on to that. Let's take this other person, and we'll see where we are after that. Okay. Okay, we have Anonymous here. Maybe you can give us your first name and your state. Got the mic. Go right ahead.
Yeah, good evening. This is Elizabeth in
Hey,
Arizona. Hi, yep. How are you? Hope you're well. So, you know, it's out here in the Wild West. It's kind of frightening right now to approach any kind of government official or worker because you don't know who they are. And so there's just not a whole lot available at the time until devolution goes through. And, you know, I don't mean to go on, but from what I've been learning, what President Trump is trying to do right now is separate us from the British colony thing, the whole thing. We never got away from it. And, you know, the thing that's great about that is that when we finally, we're not sovereign until we're separated from England, from London. And it's not really the Brits, because I'm British, I'm Irish, I'm Welsh and Scottish, but they're hiding behind other people's names, you know, and Israel and Iran and, you know, all these countries. So, but once we are separate from them, I mean, we have to be because of the bar, because the bar will have to go when we finally are disconnected from this this past that we can't seem to shed. They've really gotten into us. But, you know, I do believe that's what's really going on here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The British Empire, it still exists. It's still there. The king is still involved. And but yeah, Trump has taken them out. He's destroying them, and that's what he's doing right now. And you know, anybody who wants to get a lot of information on this, you can go to Promethean. I think that's how you pronounce it, Promethean.
Yes.
Updates. We do have that under our welcome tab. Click on up to date news, and you can click on Promethean updates, and you can start watching because they really lay out what's really been going on. Really, for 250 years. So this is not new. Matter of fact, it goes back actually even further than that. It goes all the way back to 1750.
Wow.
It's a major problem. But Trump,
right.
Absolutely right.
I'm interested in that because common law will not be able to come in until that time, in my opinion. I mean, we can be working on it and have it ready, you know, as much as possible. But right now, we, you know, until some of these other people are not there, it's just not. I mean, people report people out here, and then the county comes out and finds something wrong with your fence, and they charge money, and it's just it's horrible. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I'm just studying right now, and I'm trying to learn and. You know, I downloaded the whole course and I was looking at my table of contents because I track, you know, I write it all down as I download it. And I learned so much from just going through, just looking at the forms, just looking at, you know, there's stuff in there by Red Beckman and, you know, people who knew this stuff a long time ago, but there was nobody, well, there were people listening, but the need for it wasn't like it is now. It's always been, we've always needed it, but the pain is what's, I think, preparing us to find the courage to do these things. So,
well, the enemy has been in the gates for a very, very long time, and the problem is exactly that. You know, a few people will come up with some things, realize, start teaching it and bringing it out, and then they all of a sudden they disappear or they're shut down or they go to jail because of this, that, or the other thing. I mean, they've been assaulting us for a very long time. And so You know, I really didn't think we were going to come out of this without bloodshed. I really didn't think that we were going to come out of this without a civil war in the streets, you know, but it looks like we're going to come out of it without that. You know, there may be some bloodshed in the streets, but it won't be the people. It'll be, the military with the rebellion. Because I know, even, you know, Q mentioned that it might be an unrest in the streets for a short period of time, and to stay indoors when that happens, but the military take control. So,
yeah, there's so much work that has to be done, but even insurance has gone off the mark, you know, I mean, and if you have a house and they decide to raise your home insurance a whole lot, you know, you can lose your house if you don't, or, you know, you can lose your loan, or, because everybody goes in the same, you know, nobody has any, there's no entrepreneurship in insurance. It's like a Ponzi scheme. And I guess everybody's looking at what everybody else, I'm just guessing there, but it's just been, I'm concerned. I've always been concerned about Sharia law because it's so violent and child brides and all that. And that's not Christian, and it has no place here. But, you know, on the other hand, I think God's taken away a lot of things because we did turn away from Him. And, you know, they've called out for from now to July 4th for fasting and prayer. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, repenting for, you know, their wrongs. We're human. We make mistakes. We make error. But so anyway, I'm starting to wander, but I just appreciate that. And I thought I had another question, but if I do, I'll get back in line. And I appreciate it, John.
All right. No problem. We'll leave your mic open because there's nobody else in the queue anyway. All right.
I'd like to emphasize one thing she said. You know, the whole book Harbinger by Jonathan Kahn, that was a book several years ago. That was an excellent book. But it highlighted the point that because we had strayed from our Heavenly Father, our God, the protection that was there from God was taken away. And evil was allowed to do the things that they did on 9/11 because we had not been doing what we should. So I agree with the caller on that, is that the Harbinger really details that. And we had a whole thing about the Harbinger and Harbinger 2. I think you got a third book, a fourth book, but that's really good. I would like to go in a little bit different direction, if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the thing is this, I was out with a milkmaid who's a friend of mine. I was out helping her on her ranch dig a ditch so she could lay in a French drain to control the mud that she gets. And one thing that we sat down and talked about was what all of the jobs that are needed to work as a group. And we were talking about, you know, money is nothing more than an exchange of labor. And money usually fills that bill, but you can barter. I mean, during the Depression, I can remember talking to my grandmother, and she told me about some of those days, how she would do someone's ironing and then get a chicken for it. That is all a possibility that we might have to go back to, unfortunately.
Well, I think barter has been the way of the world for a long, long time.
Yes.
You know, so, but go ahead.
But we looked at what does it take to run a town, and we thought of all these jobs, and then we suddenly realized that you can trade labor, but eventually.
You're going in and out. Can you hear us?
Be done in a and we got onto a secondary conversation about how do we get the money to finance our government that we have in our town. And everybody says, oh, it's taxes. It's more than that. I don't know how to describe it. But if you go through and think of all the jobs that have to be done, I can go get the paper and read them off. But I don't think it's necessary here.
Yeah, tremendous. No doubt.
It is difficult. And when judges are doing those things, when they're assigning fees and fines, that money's not supposed to go to them, because then that makes them a party to whatever is happening, and they become part of the establishment that wants to earn more and do more and all of the other things and assume more authority than what they have. Some of that power that we gave them, it should go to the coffers, and that should be part of those fees should be part of fixing the roads and
also
everything else.
Lawful, though. I mean, look, they shouldn't charge the people any fee for anything, okay? Now, I do agree with corporations should be charged fees, and that's really the reason behind fees originally, but yeah, it's gone too far. So.
Gone way too far. And, you know, Blackstone wrote about corporations in Volume 1 of the Commentaries on the Common Law. I think it's Chapter 16. Corporations were originally designed to ensure that there would always be money to pay this person to go and sit in that chair at university or something like that, or keep an orphanage alive. And it is totally gone berserk with the way they define corporations now. We're removing the accountability, because if you have a corporation, they can't come for everything you own because you made a big mistake. Everyone that makes the decisions is protected. We've got to bring back that accountability into our government, and we cannot stop in pushing that. We've got to stop all of this, and it makes me mad that I don't feel like I can get enough people to listen. So thank you for the time here tonight.
Yeah, well, I do appreciate that, too. I mean, if everyone was listening, you know, there'd be a chance to save the show. You know, there's a song out there by Supertramp. But
one thing out here, they've incorporated I have just about all of the veterinary hospitals, the small ones,
mm-hmm.
and they're not being run like a veterinary hospital. They're being run by a corporation. So the manager has all the say over this. You can't even talk to the vet. And I've looked up, we have a right to talk to our veterinarian, and but that's, you know, that, and it's all like they're all in a little clique now. And then they raise prices. Like a teeth cleaning is $1,200, $1,800 with one extraction. I believe that a lot of it is that it's a generation of people who didn't really learn how to rely on their knowledge of what to do. They're just relying on the technology, and the technology has been so expensive. So I'm just hoping that will change. I mean, from what I've learned, and I've heard it more than once, that the Catholic Church was the first corporation, and I'm not sure that maybe would. I'm not sure that's such a great idea. I had a corporation for 23 years, but I ran it like a sole proprietorship. I didn't do anything to do that. You know, it just was wrong to gouge people and take advantage. And because, like with any kind of health care, doctors or veterinarians, you know, it's about caring about people, you know, instead of a corporation. And
can I add to that, please?
Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. What we're being faced with is very subtle. But as soon as you see it, you see, wait a minute, time out.
As soon as we see it is the last we heard.
Capital, any accountability for what they make or what they sell or anything else. However, we need to bring it back to free enterprise. There are a lot of things. There's a book out on tjed.org, Tango Juliet Echo Delta.org, tjed.org. And it's called, it's a PDF, and it's worth reading. And it's free enterprise versus capitalism. And then it also talks about socialism in there and why it doesn't work. And I read that and I was just floored by how they've deceptively taken away free enterprise and made it so that they can protect themselves and yet they can control all these corporations and all the money in them. And how do they sell that? Well, don't worry, we made this beautiful library in New York, or we made this beautiful thing in over here, and we've done this down here. We gave money back, and they might be giving back, 20 or 100 million, and they've made a billion or 10 billion at the same time. And that makes them look good. And I'm here to just stop all corporations unless they were put in under common law in the essence of what Blackstone wrote in the Commentaries on the Common Laws of England in Volume 1.
Well, there's no problems with corporations providing, they set up the business and deal with the business and not consolidate. I mean, you take the medical field, they seem to be consolidating everything. It's all run by lawyers. Lawyers become their partners because they can't afford to pay lawyers and they can't afford to really deal with the problems because lawyers create lawsuits. And so therefore lawyers have become the partnership of a lot of industries industries like the medical industry, which we really shouldn't even call it an industry, but that's what it is. And therein is the big problem. I mean, you can't even call a doctor's office anymore. I mean, it's a mess. The whole thing is a mess.
The
lawyers have created a whole environment, a new world that we've been living in for quite some time. Go back to you now.
As we put together, it started coming home to me. I intimated it just a second ago of how many jobs there are in a small township. And we started adding them up and we made this graph and, you got to have plumbers and I can't even read or writing right now, blacksmiths and et cetera, et cetera. You've got to have somebody to do everything. And prices have gone out of whack because there's lawyers to be paid to keep to control the courts so that we don't, those corporations don't suffer any lawsuits or anything like that. And, it goes to when there is a lawsuit and there is fault found, what do you get? You get a settlement out of court for X million dollars and everybody gets $42 of it because they were part of the big lawsuit.
Right, and they put $1 million in their pocket.
That's right. And so I'm all for I disagree that corporations are necessary. I think they are completely unnecessary, and that as we progress, we should be testing and seeing what the results are. And look what they did with the COVID vaccine. They said it is okay, and you cannot sue the pharmaceutical company or the company providing the vaccine. You cannot sue them for anything in it. And they just loaded it up with a bunch of crap.
Yeah, it that may be the law, but that's not the law of the land, and they will be held accountable.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, we got to get back to common law, or we're never going to be able to make them accountable. I agree with you, John. Thank you.
Look, again, corporations are not the problem in the sense. Let's take SpaceX, for instance. That's a huge corporation, puts out a lot of jobs, has a focus, and so on. But they have and to some degree, they've monopolized on that particular business only because few people can do anything like that. Matter of fact, until Musk came out and did what he did, I mean, the only ones that could do anything like that were governments. But that's a huge corporation. But set that aside. Let's take a large general contractor who is performing a lot of different contracts, and they've got lots of people working for them. You know, that's not a problem. But the problem is when they monopolize something. Like they take the medical industry, you take the pharmaceutical industry. They monopolized on it, and they really make these big conglomerates, and it's all controlled. And by the way, you know, our government, the way it's operating, the way things are working, is working the way it is because lawyers have set that whole thing up. They've set our court system up. They've stolen our courts of law. They've set a whole new system up. They've stolen our political system. They set a whole new system up. They stole our educational system. They've stolen our money system. They stole everything and monopolized everything and incorporated everything. You see, it's corporatism is what we're under. And the government itself has been incorporated. Every county has been incorporated. Every state has been incorporated. And the United States of America has been incorporated. It's called corporatism, and another name for corporatism is Nazism.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, I found the original, I'm pretty sure, 1910, the original constitution for the state of Arizona, and then there's another one I know it's corporate because of the language and stuff, but it's like there's no signatures, there's no... Yeah, you know, people don't have to be put their name on anything anymore. And I don't know, it just reminds me like back in the 90s or maybe the 2000s when you call a company and my name's John. Well, John, do you have an ID number? No, I don't. How about a last name? Well, we don't have to give our name. And it's like, but you're not representing yourself. You're representing a company. You ought to at least have an ID number. And they don't do it. And that started happening. And then, so no accountability, you know, I try to call companies like, you know, any company, and you can't find where their real headquarters is. And I got food poisoning at a grocery store here and I called and I talked to, you know, went back and forth. I was like pretty sick for about 6 days. I didn't even want to drive because I felt like I was kind of drunk still. And they didn't care. They just said, well, we've had other employees having intestinal problems, and that's probably just a flu, and they kind of blew it off. And I said, no, sir, I've had food poisoning before, and I know what it is. And, you know, and then I asked, well, how about $20 of, because they wanted to give me some flowers, you know, and give me a refund. And I said, well, that's not, I'm talking about something I was poisoned. And, how about $20 of free groceries? And the manager stood there and he stared off through the window like it was going to come out of his own pocket. I mean, it was crazy. They didn't used to do stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah,
okay. I agree with everything that she's saying, and I agree with what you say. As we thought through things, again, back to this conversation I had in California. Rockefeller and all of these big cartel people or corporate people, the Rockefellers could mimic what herbal remedies did, and they replaced it by patentable things. So they made something that's patentable, and then they took the money, and we've been suffering through side effects of drugs ever since. Over time, they take over the colleges and universities, and it was unforeseen by most of the people, including Adam Smith. And the people didn't realize they had to fight for free enterprise because they already had it. They were already working in the free enterprise. So he's just going to do this one thing over here, make this corporation, and they're going to give him a big library, and you know, he's going to donate a big library to the whole town in New York. But he's going to do all these other things. And so we didn't realize we were asleep. We didn't realize we had to fight for free enterprise. And one of the reasons no one fights now, all the lies about every argument that was used to create the corporate little part or this little part, but and I hope you can still hear me, they feel so much pressure to disprove everything that's lied about, and you get the first lie and they say, okay, no, stare decisis is the common law, and we've been teaching that for a very long time, and you don't know what you're talking about, and things like that that we have to disprove, and that makes it very difficult. They wrap us up disproving this lie and disproving this lie while the main thing goes on, and they continue to collect all the fees and rewards of having a corporation that can't be touched. So how does one keep from keeping out most of the wackos? Once you start showing up and saying this is wrong and this wrong, and we're almost there, you're starting to see the edges, there are some wackos that begin to dispel the lies above, but they're dispelling them in a wrong way. And if everybody has an equal voice, then we have a hard time dispelling the laws of the current bureaucracy and dispelling the lies that maybe the wackos are telling something that is true, but not for the reasons that they're saying, and you can't dispel those lies. And suddenly you have everybody wanting to disprove this and disprove that and work this, and we should be working on that. And it gets very difficult real fast to stay on track and get common law and get some of these corporations taken down so that they're not in the way anymore. And we put free enterprise back into things. The economical engine of this country is not corporations. It's not capitalism. That's not true. Though capitalism has fed more people than everybody, you know the statistics, free enterprise is where this country was built. And that's what we need to get back to. I yield.
Yeah, the problem, of course, gets back to the minions of the New World Order, which, of course, the lawyers who set this whole system up and have created all the laws to protect all these big corporations to maintain the protection on the status quo, period. And a lot of these things, of course, are problematic because they're monopolies. And a lot what they've got around a lot of that when the idea of monopoly is brought up, you know. I remember when I was younger, I think it was Ma Bell down in New York, they had to break that up because they had become a monopoly. And there was different other places, well, lots of places of monopolies. But what happened is that they would create, their own nemesis. They'd create, for instance, let's take Home Depot, and what's the other one? Home Depot and...
Lowe's,
okay? If Lowe's wasn't there, Home Depot would have invented them. Maybe they did, okay? Coca-Cola and Pepsi, you know? If I don't know which one was first. Let's say Coke was first, but if Pepsi wasn't there, they would invent it, because, again, maybe they did invent it. You know, you got corporations inside of corporations inside of corporations, and it all goes up to the pinnacle of the elites that own these things. So they found ways to get around the law to prevent the monopoly. But they've monopolized on everything. You know, you don't get good medical service anymore because when you go to a doctor, the whole thing is you get these big buildings all of a sudden. I remember when I was a kid, there was a doctor and there was a dentist right up the block from me. They literally had an apartment, okay? They'd rent an apartment and they'd run it on, and usually it's the first floor, and they'd run their doctor's office or the dentist's office right out of the apartment. You know, they create an office in there in these on the regular apartment buildings. And they were, you know, all on their own, and they took care of business. You got good service. You didn't have to deal with...
That is free enterprise.
Exactly. But that doesn't happen anymore. These doctors aren't on their own. They all belong to a conglomerate. They have no choice because they're sued to death. I think that's the major problem. The insurance is so high, they can't make it work. And so the lawyers will come in, and they take total control. They restructure everything, and we suffer for it. The prices go up, and we get bad service. You get doctors who are really not good doctors at all. Look at the United States is really in a big mess when it comes to education. You know, a lot of these doctors, they're really bad. You know, but that's
scary. It's scary to go to a hospital. I mean, it's frightening to go to a hospital.
Yes, it is. I agree.
I just pray that I don't ever have to go to a hospital, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's quite a mess. You know, mm-hmm. The thing about the mindset is really helped me understand, you know, I mean, we don't really know who we are. We're not King Tut, you know, that's the thing. Like, we have to be the biggest, you know? It's like, no, we have to just be real. Because God's the one who's big. We don't have to be big, you know. We just have to, you know, be faithful. And we can't have the law without faith. You know, and we've been taught to be afraid of lawyers. Oh, God. Well, you know, I can't do that. I just can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Just what I get worried about is that there are people in this world who will do things to me that I wouldn't do to them. And that really scares, it's frightening, you know, instinctually. It's just, it's insane. But, yeah, we're in a real interesting time.
and you know, we have a lot of people who've come out of schools in the past 30 years, maybe more, 40 years, but 30 years or so. And then the kids in school today, they've been demoralized. They're ignorant. They're really stupid. I talk to people, and people, a lot of people, the younger people especially, they're very stupid. They don't know nothing. It's really very frightening because, you know, these are the people that at some point in time is going to have to run things. And even the more highly educated people, they're taught fake things. And so even the ones that claim to have some education and to some degree they have certain knowledges, of course, and they're very good at what they're taught, but it's not necessarily the right things that they were taught. And they've been demoralized. You know, the hearts of men is desperately wicked. Who could know it to begin with? You know, we have to control ourselves. And but with the way the schooling has gone, it's kind of pulled the plug on control. And people are out of control, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. They're not interested. They're lazy. They don't want to learn. And that's, of course, not everybody. It's not true with everybody. But a lot of our younger generation is that. The generation is really falling apart, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you see children, a lot of children that are obese. I mean, the food that they give us, it's a mess, you know? So, but
yeah.
Anyway, education is the only thing that's going to save us and bring us back to common law.
Well, to be inspired to learn, you know, to be inspired to have an education, you know? You know, we've lost our sense of adventure.
I'd like to give another plug for Promethean Updates. If you listen to one of their latest ones, like the CFR Waves, White Flag, Trump Just Killed Britain's 100-Year American Project. That's video on that page. Yes.
Brent would like to join.
Yeah, we don't have to do it right now.
I just wanted to open.
Yeah, one of the big things is that who has been financing all of this stuff? It isn't the rich. It isn't the cabal. It isn't anyone else but us. They've siphoned off what we have made through taxes and other things. They want you fighting to stay alive and treading water. That's what they want, because the power of free enterprise is that you can make the money. You can produce the wealth. And they're siphoning it off and funneling it back through NGOs and several other things. Where Iran has been putting out propaganda for a long time. Where is this? Who are these people that are making up propaganda to support Iran during all of this war that we're having? And it comes right back to somebody who set up a corporation in London, and the money that goes out to somebody, an NGO, a non-governmental office, takes it and puts it back into that entity in London that's building propaganda for Iran. We've got to really understand what really is happening, and I think Promethean Updates is a good place to do it. Thank you.
Absolutely. We see that the Vice President Vance is really working on this. President Trump put together a plan to deal with all this fraud with these NGOs and all these other ripoffs, particularly of government money that we're paying into. You know, all this money, like you said, is going really to support our demise.
And they've divided us too. I mean, like, I've got a friend and I've got a relative that I can't talk to him about this stuff, and I get attacked. You know, it's like, and it's painful because I love these people. You know, and they drank the Kool-Aid. You know.
Yeah. Well, they listen to that thing too. So.
And that Kool-Aid, that we call it Kool-Aid. That's education. We have a big, huge education problem here in our country. And in LA, it's trying to
give it back to the people now. It's up to the people to take control of that. Trump gave it back to the people. Department of Education.
Well, they need to have a champion, John. There has to be a champion. There has to be an issue people can get behind. Else they are so overwhelmed by just making enough money to survive and pay their house payment and their car payment and anything else.
Right.
We've got to latch on to something. And I think that's one of the things that we're missing right now as a country.
We have to be our own champion, you know, because the thing is, I remember when I was a little girl, they talk, oh, there's this going on. I didn't know, understand it all, but the government will take care of it. You know, that was the answer. The government will take care of it. Well, you know, 50 years, 60 years ago, I mean, I'm in my 70s now. It's like, you know, that was, maybe it was more true than it is now. You know, it's just.
The world was so much greater back then. You know, there was computers. There was none of this craziness. Money had value, even though it had been devalued quite a bit. Still, we didn't even realize how much it was devalued. It had value. I remember my first job. I was working for $1.65 an hour. Was minimum wage, and that was my first job when I was young. And, you know, if you were making 10 bucks an hour, you were doing great. I mean, really great. Even if $6-7 an hour wasn't bad at all, but 10 bucks was great.
Wasn't it Reagan who said the nine most dreaded words in the English language was, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. We've got to start taking some of this government apart so that we can turn on our economic engine again.
Yeah, thank God. Trump is working on that. It's up to the people who work on the other side of this, the coin. Look, at he's given us back a lot of stuff. We got to take control of it. The problem is trying to get the people's attention, to get them educated, to get them to spend their time. And I do know and I do realize, yes, it is hard. We put a lot of focus on survival, spend a lot of time. Money is so tight, it's hard to put a dollar here or a dollar there outside of your own needs. I know that, and everybody should know that. But nevertheless, we have to work it out to fit time in. We've got to give some time. We should create, and again, that's why we're creating committees of safety. People need to get these committees of safety going, because that's what's going to change your life. That's what's going to change the world. That's what's going to change our children. That's what's going to educate them and educate ourselves. That's what's going to take control of our government. Government is controlled from at the grassroots level, and that's where people have to operate from.
You know, John, I've called. I'm in the process of calling all the administrators, you know, from the different, you know, there are 10 of them, right? 10 areas in our country on that map that you have there.
Right.
And there's only one. And I don't mean to name names or anything, but there's only one administrator who actually has a committee of safety going. The others, they want to, I've had two of them try to turn me. They're doing their own thing. You know, they're not taking the courts, you know.
That becomes a problem. You know, one of our members, a good friend of mine, said to me, and I may have mentioned this before. I know I've mentioned it many times. I don't know if I mentioned it on the line here. But he said, John, you know, we got some good news, and we also have some bad news. And he says, you know, the good news is we have volunteers, and the bad news is we have volunteers. So, and that's true. You know, if we can go and become, you know, a paid group of people, you know, go professional, then things would be required. And when people aren't doing their job, because you'd set up all, you'd have the money, the ability to set up the right people to control this and to control that and to manage that, and you can control the whole system. And when people aren't doing their job, then, you know, you don't pay them, you fire them. But when people are volunteering, you know, you can't really push them that much to begin with. And sometimes people will volunteer and take a position and then just disappear. It's a problem. It's a problem.
Yeah,
but it is what it is. We have to. The only way we're going to really be successful, we have to hit one of two things has to happen for us. We have to hit critical mass. Critical mass will definitely give us enough money to come in, because you get a small percentage of people that give. And if you had critical mass, it'll be large enough to give to be able to go professional. The other way, of course, is someone that has deep pockets and recognizes and realizes what we're doing, and they throw X amount of dollars in to be able to help us to become professional.
Wouldn't they then have control?
No, that's my next point. We'd have to be very careful of that, because it can come with strings attached. And you know, someone can offer me $10 million, you can offer me $100 million. Goodness, I'll tell you, this is the truth. You can offer me $1 billion, put one string to it, and I don't want it. We've been offered a long, long time ago, we were offered money from a very large group of people, Rome, people in Rome there, Roman Catholic Church. We were offered some things way back when, and we rejected it, because we knew it wasn't a good thing to be attached to.
Yeah, it's infiltration.
Yeah, so we may never get anywhere from that perspective, because unless some good people come up, put some money into it with no strings, and that's that, fine. And, you know, we're going to do what we're saying we're going to do, you know. We need to write books. We need to write textbooks. We need to get them into the schools. We need to really, you know, and if you get money, then we could do advertising, and then we can really get bring in that critical mass to be able to get enough people. It only takes a small group of people to take control of our nation. We don't have government by majority. We have government by the majority that participates. You know, it's always a small group of people that run everything. And if you can get, 30, 40, 50, or even 100 people in every county, that's really just a very small percentage of the population of the nation, okay? But it's more than enough to control government completely. And so let's say if every county had, let's say, 50 people working on committees of safety, what would that number be? I'll just do 3,000 counties. 3,000 counties, times 50 people, okay, that's 150,000 people. I mean, how many people are in America? 300 and some odd million? 350 million or something like that?
Okay.
Whatever that percentage is, we only need 150,000 people to take 100% control of our country, because the committees are safe to be able to do it if they're taught correctly, and we can teach them how they take control, starting in the grassroots level, working their way up. Because remember, the grassroots level controls not only the things that are close to them, government that is close to them, it controls also your education, your schools, even your colleges. You control your counties, your cities, your towns. You know, you control all those things that are local to you, but we also, everybody controls also up on a higher level, the federal level, because you have a representative. You control that person, and you require that they have a proper education. You require them to be obedient to the Constitution. You require them to do their job, or you recall them, because with 50 people, you have the power to recall anyone. Because you got enough people to be able to do it, to put the petitions together and take them out of office and put the right person in office and require them to do the right thing. We can require our servant government to take a course in the Constitution, a real course. We can develop that course and make sure they understand it. But again, it takes money to do that. That's the unfortunate thing, is we don't have the money to do that. We have the plan, we just don't have the money.
It's time to stop, isn't it? I've started business with just a computer and a camera. I started a whole business, you know, and it's like I ran it fairly, and I love talking to the people, and I was always, you know, I set standards, and like, the buyers really liked that because they could trust me, you know. And anyway, it's sometimes we can start with no money, and if our hearts are in the right place, we can reach them. But it's just that they've taught us, and we've learned to, you know, let somebody else take the wheel. I don't have time. I'm just getting by. It's like, yeah, but you're getting by, you know. Some people aren't getting by at all, you know. So
you have to plan, and you have to have focus. And, you know, and I, too, I remember when I started my first business. I don't know if everybody here is familiar. At least here in New York, we had what was called the Penny Saver, okay. And I took an ad. It was very cheap to put an ad in the Penny Saver. And I put an ad in the Penny Saver as a contractor, you know, to do carpentry, particularly in the beginning. And eventually I was able to get enough things going and make enough money, and then put a big ad in the Yellow Pages. I started out with a quarter of a page, went to a page, and business then was rolling in, and a lot of things happened. And you just build up and build up and build up and build up. But you have to make a plan, and you have to focus towards that plan, and have a point that you really want to reach and get to, whatever that is, you know. But
yeah.
All right, with that, we're going to close down.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for coming, and we'll see you, Lord willing, next Monday. Good night again.
Good night.